We're reading today the Psalm 148. Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights. Praise ye him, all his angels. Praise ye him, all his hosts. Praise ye him, sun and moon. Praise him, all ye stars of light. Praise him, ye heaven of heavens, and ye waters that be above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded, and they were created. He hath also established them for ever and ever. He hath made a decree which shall not pass. Praise the Lord from the earth, ye dragons and all deeps. Fire and hail, snow and vapour, stormy wind fulfilling his word. Mountains and all hills, fruitful trees and all cedars. Beasts and all cattle, creeping things and flying fowl. Kings of the earth and all the people. Princes and all judges of the earth. Both young men and maidens, old men and children. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is excellent. His glory is above the earth and heaven. He also exalteth the horn of his people, the praise of all his saints, even of the children of Israel, a people near unto him. Praise ye the Lord. We know that God will bless the reading of his word to our hearts. This is another of these great worship psalms that brings the book of Psalms to a conclusion. We're at the very end of the book of Psalms. There are only two left after this study. And this again is a call to worship. It's one of the Hallelujah Psalms, beginning with the word Hallelujah, translated Praise Ye the Lord, ending with the word Hallelujah, Praise Ye the Lord. And this particular psalm is full of the word praise throughout. What the psalmist does here is call all of God's creation together. He summons them to fulfill their duty of worshipping God. He begins in the heights. He begins in heaven, the place where God dwells with his angels. He said, praise him in the heights. Praise ye him, all his angels. He calls the angels, the seraphim, the cherubim, to join together in a great chorus of praising God. And indeed, this is what the angels do. This is their function, to worship God, to praise God, to adore God. Then he comes a little lower to the universe, to the sun, to the moon, to the stars, and he calls them to worship God. And you say, how can the sun, moon, and stars worship God? Well, they are not intelligent creatures, but by the sheer fact that they are there, that in itself honours God. The sun, that brilliant star that gives us our light and gives us our heat and our warmth, our life physically comes from the sun. The very power of our nearest star glorifies God, the one who placed the sun in existence. Then he comes a little lower and he talks about the clouds, the waters that are above the earth, and how they praise the Lord. And of course, if it were not for the clouds, we could not live, because they bring the rain. The rain irrigates the soil. The rain causes the seedlings to develop. Without the rain, there would not be life. Without the rain, there would not be water. And then he comes to the depths. He talks about the sea. He said, God has established them forever and ever. He hath made a decree which shall not pass. Praise the Lord from the earth, ye dragons and all deeps. He's coming down to the deeps. And in the very depths of the ocean there are a myriad of creatures, from the great whales to the little organisms which inhabit the waters of the earth, from the great Pacific to the mighty Atlantic to the Mediterranean to the Arctic. They are all there fulfilling their purposes of praising God. Then he turns his attention to the weather, to the hail, to the lightning, to the storms. And then he looks to the mountains and all the hills. And then he comes to the beasts, to the cattle, to the birds. And he calls all of these objects together, all of these creatures, because God has fashioned them, he has made them. And he's saying, praise the Lord, worship the Lord. And what the psalmist is doing is telling us to look around us, to look at the sky above and the earth beneath, to listen to the birds with their song. And he is defying us to say, there is no God. Are you going through life at this time saying there is no God? There is no God to worship? Saying that you're somehow the master of your own little destiny, that man is the captain of a ship? Is that what you're saying, that there is no God? Well, look around you. The psalmist in an earlier place, he said, the heavens declare the glory of God, the firmament showeth his handiwork. Look around you at the world. Deny the genius of God. Deny that he has designed all of these things. Go on and deny it. Deny there is a designer. Deny there is a greater force at work, greater than the universe itself. Are you going to deny this? Are you going to try and escape from the inescapable, that where there is design, there has to be a designer? There has to be an architect? Where something has been made, there must be a creator? There must be the manufacturer? Are you to say that all of this has sprang into existence and God has not been involved because there is no God? Is that what you're saying? What you are saying makes no sense. Listen to the words of this psalmist. He is telling us simply the whole of the universe points to the fact that there is a God. But he doesn't just talk about the angels and the universe and the weather, the creatures worshipping God. He talks about man. Man and his various levels. He talks about the kings of the earth, the princes, the judges of the earth. He said they should be praising God. How do they praise God? Well, they ought to praise God by giving us laws that are according to God's word, that are according to divine principles, that are according to the law of God. A government should be structured in a way that glorifies the Creator, but tragically, this is not so. Because this whole idea that man solely is responsible for himself and answerable to no one, this is the theory that abounds today. It's based on humanism. Humanism basically is the elevation of man. Man is the only creature, there is no God. And therefore we live in such an ungodly society that is ruled and governed in an ungodly way. Governments today do not worship God. They do not praise God with the laws that they make. And that is why they're making such a moral mess, causing confusion in our society. And then he comes lower still. He talks about the young men, the maidens, the old men, the children. Let them praise the name of the Lord. Now, having moved from the angels to the stars and the galaxies, to the mountains and the hills, to the oceans, to the valleys, to the birds, to the beasts, he now comes to man, not simply to the rulers of the earth, to the princes, to the judges of the earth, but to individuals. Young men, maidens, old men, children. He now brings this duty to us, to you, and to me, to the ordinary people, to the little people, whether they are young, whether they are old. He said, let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is excellent. His glory is above the heaven and the earth. We have a duty, we have a responsibility in our daily lives to worship God. We should worship God by living lives that please him. But how can we do that? For we are a sinful people, born in sin. How can we please God? We can only please God when we know his Son. It is only through his Son that we can be brought near to God, so that we are acceptable to him. The writer of the Psalm 148 uses a very interesting phrase in the verse 14 to describe those who worship God, a people near unto him. This is what I want to be, a man who lives near God. But we can only be near God when we are the children of God. And we can only be the children of God whenever we trust Christ as our one and only Saviour. And then we are brought into his family. Not everyone is a member of God's family. Some think they are members of God's family because they go to a certain church, because they are baptized. Not so. We can only become members of God's family when we are born again. And being born again has nothing to do with our baptism. It has nothing to do with any ordinance. It has everything to do with the Holy Spirit coming into our lives. This is what it means to be born again. This is what it means to be brought near to God. Yes, we need to be brought near to God. There are two kinds of people in this world. Those who are far off, and those who are near. If you are far off today, will you not come near? Have your sins washed in the blood of Christ, so that you will be able to worship and praise and honour God. I thank you so much for listening.